I don't know about the sheriff. I'm just going to send them to you instead of telling them to go listen to it online.
List our names next.
Yeah, that's right.
Walter Brown.
Is it working now?
I believe it is.
You're not going to put what I'm doing right now online, right? You can cut and paste that. McFly? Okay, that's not going to get online.
The bombs are dropping. What is that? What did Reagan say?
I don't know. Okay. Officially now the taping starts and officially now the shear starts. Okay. I wanted to speak a little bit about Tynus Esther. It's not a very big, but it is a big topic, and there's a lot to say, very interesting stuff, perhaps more than one would otherwise have thought, and perhaps not won't be able to see it at all of it, or as exhaustively as I might have otherwise liked, but at least to kind of expose ourselves to some of the background and some of the, I think, deeper issues and questions that have to be asked when it comes to Tynus Esther. We are familiar that aside from the one fast which we have on a Torah level, Daraisa, which is a Kosh Yom Kippur, we are familiar with the famous big four fasts, which are Midivrei Nevi'im or Midivrei Kabbalah. Those are the ones that are mentioned in the Navi Zechariah and Parakhes. And these are, of course, the famous four big fasts. What's, of course, obvious by omission is that Tynus Esther is not included in that pasuk. Not only that, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe it's mentioned anywhere in the Gemara. Daf Yom is almost done with the Sechas Megillah, but you didn't get to it yet, and I don't think you'll get to it in the last 10 or so daf. The reason I can hedge that, even though I can't think at the moment of every single daf in Megillah, is because, among others, the Sefer HaRokeach says, Tynus Esther Ein Lo Smach. It's not mentioned even in the Gemara. It could be that it is Mi Dine de Gemara, or Mi... somehow may from that zman it could be, but I don't know if it's really even mentioned. If it is, then we'll have to make an official correction. The Avudraham and the Hagoth Mamunios, for example, both suggest that, and this is quoted by the Beis Yosef in Siman Tafresh Peivav, that is the Siman on Tynus Esther, 686, that it is Mitzkanas HaGaonim. It was a Gaonic Takana. Whether it's a Takana even if it's within from the time period of the Gaonim, it's not even clear that it's that. The truth is, if you look in the Ramah, the famous Ramah, at the beginning of Tafresh Peivav, he actually doesn't quote it as Tachana Rachova, he says it's a Minog. And in fact, as you may know, there are many, many Kulas that are associated with Tynus Esther. Now, it could be that that's just because it's the latest of the fast days, and even if it's a Chova, but if it's a Chova only from the Gaonim, so you could imagine it having more Kulas. But it certainly would make sense if it was not even a Chova, maybe some kind of a Minog, that certainly would make sense and explain why it had some leniencies that other things don't. Okay, that's just background in terms of that. Another thing which we'll get to perhaps later in this year, but just to mention kind of also as part of the introduction, is something that I mentioned. We were learning this in the Mishnah Berurah, you know, to Minchah Marav last week, and that is that it's not even clear in the Rishonim what fast it's coming to commemorate, which is related, although not necessarily identical, to another machlokas in Rishonim, which is there, and if so, what pasuk in the Megillah may be hinting or somehow giving some kind of a smach to the concept. Maybe there's no pasuk, especially if it's from the Gaonim, you presume there's no pasuk. Is it possible that there was something? Not clear. But in terms of whoever it is that it came up with this fast idea, why did they do it? What are they patterning it after? So the truth of the matter is that even that is a well-known machlokas. Some Rishonim say that it's based on the 3 days of fasting that Mordechai and Esther had instituted for the whole Jewish people before Esther went before Achashverosh. The downside with that sheet is two obvious things. Number one is we only fast for one day, not three. And that fast was in the month of Nisan, 11 months before the actual Yud Gimel Adar, etc. Now, our answers for both of those, perhaps we're weaker now, so we condense the three into one. And perhaps the Nisan, generally, we don't fast. That was a Hara Asha then that they needed to do. In fact, the Gemara tells us, or the Medrash tells us, a very dramatic Medrash. I've spoken about this in some more Agadic, if you will, or Megillah Shurim that I've given. An incredible Medrash that speaks about the fact that when Esther came up with the idea and the initiative for the 3 days of fasting and that plan, Mordechai responds and says, how can you do that? That will include the first night of Pesach, right? 13th, 14th, and 15th of Nisan. And she responds very, very strongly to him. What do we have Pesach for to begin with? To celebrate the Geula, the freedom of the Jewish people. If we don't do this plan, I'm going to be a Jewish people to celebrate the freedom of. And in fact, the Medrash says, Hodalo Mordechai. Mordechai admitted that she was right. So we know that that fast happened then. But really, ideally, you can't have it then. Chodesh Nisan, we don't have a fast. So perhaps that was a harasha, and when it came time to establishing this Lavadaros, we made it closer to the celebration of Purim. So those are the two weaknesses of that theory, but perhaps they're both defensible. Of course, the alternative, which is very interesting, because it does not have any reference in the story of the Megillah at all, is suggested by a whole other group of Rishonim, and that is to say that it has nothing to do with those 3 days. After all, 3 days is not one. Nisan is not Adar. So what is it coming for? Kastaka, on that day, on the 13th of Adar, they did fast. It's not necessarily mentioned in the Megillah, but we can assume they fasted. Why? Because they went to war on the 14th and on the 15th of Adar. And we know from Chumash, and especially from Navi, that whenever a Jewish army would go off to war, they first fasted and did tshuva and daven before then. So just like they did in the earlier periods of Tanakh, presumably they did that during the period of Megillas Esther as well, and therefore, Baruch Hashem, they were listened to. So just like they presumably fasted then before the 14th, so too will presumably fast. And again, the upside is the date works out well. The downside is that there's no reference to them ever doing it, let alone that we should be commemorating it. But that's all, as I said, by way of Hagdama, and it's just this interesting goes to show you, we're not sure if this is a minhag or a chovah, we're not sure if it's Medina de Gemara, from the, is it reference to the Megillah or not, is it only from the Gaonim, and we're not even sure whoever instituted it, what is it commemorating. So there's a little bit of mystery, I would say, surrounding Tainus Esther. To get into the real, I would say, lumdisha question, though, of understanding the character and the nature of Tainus Esther, so it's important to reference something that, again, it's Bashert, those who are learning Daf Yomi, this is from the previous Masechtos, Roshana and Tainus, but hopefully still familiar to you, and if not, hopefully to, even to everyone. And that is the notion that the Gemara speaks about, this concept, this book, what was known as Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus was a work which was a collection of all sorts of days in which Hashem had done certain salvations and miracles for the Jewish people, and the result of any day being in there is that on that day, as well as the day before and the day after, there were certain halachos that were supposed to commemorate that and have something celebratory, and by definition, if it included celebration, it prohibited fasting. Now, the Gemara tells us, I don't know if we know, I'm not sure offhand, a date, so to speak, but at some point already in the time of the Gemara, we're told that they were Batlo Megillas Tainus. They did away with that. However, they're told that Purim, which was one of the days, probably the most famous of all the days, Purim was left over. So in light of that, that phenomenon leads to a huge and very fascinating discussion, which is almost astounding to think of, in the Rishonim. Tosfos and Maseches Tainus and the Ran and Rosh Hashanah and others all ask, if we still assume that there's some notion of Megillas Tainus associated with Purim, and we know that the halacha of Megillas Tainus was that you couldn't fast the day before, so midin Megillas Tainus, forget Tainus Esther being minhag chova, we don't know when, it should be usur. You shouldn't be allowed to have Tainus Esther, because you're not allowed to fast before days that are in Megillas Tainus. In Purim we say stays in Megillas Tainus. How could there be, yes, the Rishonim, halacha or a minhag or anything of Tainus Esther? It goes against the rule of Purim being in Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus was a document, a book, which listed all sorts of days in which Hashem had done miraculous salvation for the Jewish people, and commemoration, not major holidays, but nevertheless, any day that was listed in there, to commemorate that, there were certain halachos of simcha which were established. And by definition, if there was some level of simcha, it prohibited fasting. But it wasn't just, it wasn't just the day itself, but it was also the day after and the day before. So if Purim is in there, that would, by definition, mean the day before is usher to fast. The day before is Tainus Esther. So, 1 minus 1 equals 0. You shouldn't be allowed to fast on Tainus Esther. That's the question of the Rishonim.
When they were butler,
by Purim.
Right, but they made changes, and, you know.
Okay, we'll have to see. Maybe that's one of the answers. Yes, let's see, yeah. Purim is in it, though. Purim is in it. So let's see some of the answers that may be suggested. Good, you're all, you're thinking along the right lines.
Megillas Tainus, the day before and the day after, that would be in a vacuum where that day was cleared on the calendar. But here,
if it's there's something
different, you have an explicit.
Okay, good. All these are very interesting possibilities. Let's just mention to you a few of the interesting ideas that the Rishonim say. So first of all, Tosfos has a very technical answer. He wants to split the difference and say, listen, when we say that lo batla Megillas Tainis for Purim, we didn't mean for the whole 3-day package. We just meant for Purim itself. But we're not going to have the additional chumras of day before and day after. And therefore, Taka, it's mutter to fast the day before, comes along again, whoever, we don't know, necessarily it's a machlokas, but comes along someone and has this idea of Tainis Esther. We're going to get to that. With this Yom HaNika, I forget how to pronounce that. Yeah, we're going to get to that. We'll get to that. Very good. See, because for the Daf Yomi people, this year is going to be like on the fingertips. There's so many topics here that you're familiar with. I'm not holding anything back from you. Okay. The Ran says the following. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah itself on Daf Yutes tells us that even though we have one other similar phenomenon like this in Halacha, it's somewhat counterintuitive. Shabbos in Yom Tov, which has Simcha Midoraisa. Yeah, we don't have this idea of the Isser to fast before and after, as opposed to these minor days, most of which we never heard of, and they, not only are the day themselves so important, but we have this extra bookends of the day before and the day after. What kind of business is that? So the Gemara itself says, Einachanami, it's not counterintuitive, it's Hihanosenis, because those are Ksuva Baraisa, so therefore they're written in the Torah, so they are important enough, we don't have to worry about anyone lacking respect for them. But these other days no one ever heard of, so we needed to make, if you'll forgive me, a holiday weekend, so to speak. If you just have, that's why it's no coincidence that some of the secular holidays are B'davka on a Monday or B'davka on a Thursday, because then they're closer to the weekend, you could give it a little bit more chashivas. If it's floating in the middle of the day, if it's middle of the week, by itself, without anything before or after it, it can easier get lost. So says the Ran, in light of that Gemara, that's the Gemara. So says the Ran, even if you assume that low Bala Megillas Tainis applies in its entirety to the holiday of Purim, but nevertheless, given the fact that Purim itself, not Tainis Esther, but Purim itself, is Ksuva Baraisa, or if not the Torah, at least Medivrei Nevi'im, there's a Megillah, it's in the canon, so to speak, so we don't have to worry about Purim being disregarded in some way. And therefore, we can equate from this perspective Purim with Shabbos and Yom Tov. Therefore, just like Shabbos and Yom Tov did not need to have a prohibition of a fast before, so too Purim doesn't either. And what's interesting, it seems to me, according to this Ran, that point would have been true, not just since Megillas Tainis was bottled, but even before that, whatever original period that this existed, even when Megillas Tainis is operating in full force, says the Ran, basically, that you always had a certain sense of quirk when it came to Purim, and that is, again, counterintuitively or ironically, it would always be more makel than some of these other days that we would never heard of and forgotten, because, again, because it's dafka, because it's more important, therefore it did not need this extra help.
It doesn't have extra help either.
It doesn't need it, exactly, the same idea. Although, again, according to, I don't know what the Ran says about Hanukkah, I don't remember if he says it or not, but, again, Hanukkah is not written in Tanakh. That's the difference between Purim, he makes the point, is written Ksuva Baraisa. The Balamor asks a fascinating, again, it's kind of a Cheshveni, but it's interesting enough even for those of us not so into Cheshven usually. He asks a very, very interesting question. The Balamor says, well, if you think about it, then that would only help for all of the country, cities and places in the world that celebrate Purim on the 14th. Because then, day before is the 13th, okay, it's Mutter to fast. But Tainis Esther, the 13th, is not the day before the 15th. So what about Yerushalayim? What about all of the other cities that celebrate Purim on the 15th? For them, how can they fast on the 13th? That, again, Megillas Tainis speaks about the 14th. Midin Megillas Tainis, according to the Ran, really should be usher to fast on the 14th. It's just that you don't need to because you're celebrating Purim then. But for them who are not celebrating Purim, it should come out, asks the Balamor, that they should have been usher to fast on the 13th. Fascinating. And he doesn't really have, the Pre-Chodesh asks this question himself, Midin Avshei, and there's not a great, great answer for that question. But so Shilas, what about them? So how are, if you are a Ben Yerushalayim? He assumes, okay, maybe, I don't know, he doesn't give that, it's worth thinking about it a little bit, because he, again, anything you would think of as obvious, it can't be, because it's right. You have to know, it's a strong kasha, and I don't think that, if I remember correctly, I don't think the Balamor or the Pre-Chodesh give an answer. So it's really interesting. So that's a problem, so to speak, with this run. There is a third answer. There's a third answer, which is really what I want to get to, because I think that will open up for us a whole larger picture and a window into Tainus Esther in a way which I think will not only explain this halacha, but I hope will provide us with an understanding to explain a number of the other halachos. And this is an explanation which is, in more recent Svarim, or Achronim, this is something that I know they say over, it's one of the well-known Torahs over Soloveitchik, but the truth is that it was already known, I think, as in the name of a Ravid, quoted by the Ran, and the truth is in more recent times even the people have dug up that this Lamdish idea actually goes all the way back, for the sake, or it's really already written almost explicitly in two of the more lesser-known Rishonim, the Kolbo and the Orchos Chaim. So you have an interesting group, all of whom seem to say the same thing, more or less. And that is the following. The halacha that Tainus cannot be instituted on the day before one of these special days of Megillas Tainus is only true if the fast would be in conflict with the nature of the day of celebration. It's a sad day to fast, and that's going to be the day before or the day after. We're supposed to be a happy day. That's already a steerer. That's going to share the simcha of this happy day we're commemorating. So that's true for kimat all other fasts. But Tainus Esther is not a Tainus Shel Sa'ar. Tainus Esther is not supposed to be a sad day. Tainus Esther is, in the words of some of the Rishonim, a Tainus Shel Simcha. Tainus Esther is a happy day. A day in which, as I mentioned between Mincha Maariv today, we commemorate the fact that Hashem listened to our tefillos, responded to our Eis Tzara, and saved us. And therefore, that is why we are so excited. The pasuk in the Megillah, where at the end, where it refers to the Jewish people having accepted the takanos of Mordechai and Esther, and there being a whole instituted new celebration, and the references divrei hatsomos v'zakasam. So, what is the divrei hatsomos? So, some Rishonim say it's just referring to the general Jewish calendar. That's the sad days, and now we have this new holiday of Purim, which is a happy day. But the Ravid quoted there by the Ran, the Ravid says divrei hatsomos. Again, that's reference to the celebration of Purim. It's talking about Tainus Esther, because Tainus Esther is part of the celebration of Purim. And while the most of the Rishonim, such as Orchos Chaim and the Kolbo, are a little bit more succinct, I think the way they say this over the number of Soloveitchik, which is, again, I think it's more or less the same idea, but he expands it in a way that I think makes it a little clearer and very beautiful, and that is that it's the idea, I guess he doesn't use this term, but I would say it's like the Me'afela La'ora idea. I mention this sometimes on Tisha B'Av, that you appreciate the celebration, the salvation, much more when you know the vulnerability and the difficult thing that was before that. So the idea is, it's part of the pursuing Nisa, so to speak, of having Tainus Esther right up against Purim. That reminds us of the vulnerability, so to speak, and it's that contrast which gives us a greater appreciation and adds a dimension to the Simcha of Purim, and therefore it's really, in a certain sense, Bechad HaMachta. It's all one, so to speak, celebration, because the contrast of going from Tainus Esther to Purim, that lends the greatest notion to the Pirsumei Nisa. Again, because this is not just any Tsar. Again, think about it for a moment. Almost every, virtually every other, I'm not talking about Yom Kippur, every other commemorative fast that we have, we're remembering a calamity. We're not remembering a fast, and we're still not remembering Yeshua. Here, we're remembering a fast which led to Yeshua. And therefore, that is something that is very fundamentally different. Again, that little point is already from the Rishonim, and I think this, making it a little bit fancier, was what Soloveitchik added, which is this notion that it's, so to speak, integrated, that by having them both, the contrast allows for greater appreciation and a greater publicity of the fast. And therefore, since it's not a fast of sadness, Adarav, it complements, it integrates with Purim itself. Therefore, there's no problem, kihuzeh, from the, quote, din of Tainus, Megillah Tainus, to have a fast day on the day before Purim.
Would not eventually give the same parents for Tainus
Mechayru? I don't think so, but I don't know.
What would you give?
I wouldn't give anything. I don't know. Let's wait. We have a month. Maybe that'll be our topic. Maybe. Remember, we have to remember our topic in one of the shiurim in the next few weeks. Okay. Now, what I want to do So just take this idea, this new idea of Tainus Esther, and maybe see where it plays out in a few other halachos that relate, or discussions that relate to Tainus Esther. So one halacha, which is relevant to us, Mamish, is a very interesting one. This is, again, the Gemara Megillah, the Daf Yomi Aleph. What happens when you have a Purim or something like that falling out on Shabbos, or in this case, a Sunday, and therefore you'd have a Tainus Esther on a Shabbos? So what do you do? So the general rule we know is, right, we kick it forward, we never kick it back. Or, you know, later, not earlier, right? Why? What's the lashon of the Gemara? Right. Exactly. We're ma'achren and we're not makdimin peranos. Exactly. So, frekt many of the Rishonim, the Rosh, the Magen Mishnah, others that quote. So, why is it that when it comes to Purim, we have a Yosem and a Klal, we don't push Tainus Esther until after? We push Tainus Esther, we make it earlier than it would have been. The only fast day where if you have a problem with the Shabbos or anything like that, we push it earlier than it would have been. Usually the rule is, right, ma'achren v'lo ma'akdimin. We always push down the calendar, so to speak. We make later a fast day. We never make it earlier than it would have to be. So a few technical answers that are given. The Mordechai and others say, well, listen, it's just a technicality, because if we would do it the day after, that's Purim. Right? We can't do it the day after. You know, and Friday is a technicality already because it's close to Shabbos for preparing. You know, so we push it all the way after Thursday. So the Mordechai is a technical answer. The Magen Mishnah is a technical answer. But if you take a look, again, some of the Achronim say this, but it really goes, this is, again, you have some of this really kind of fine Lamedish ideas already being well before any Achronic formulations. The She'iltos of Rav Chaigon, I believe, is the first who says this. The Kolbo, once again, says this. And also, in his comments on the Shulchan Aruch, the Machzas HaShekel, again, very succinctly, but the Machzas HaShekel make this point, as you can already anticipate, al derech what we're saying, that that's only true when you have a fast day, which is Peronus, which is a sad fast day, commemorating Nebuch, destruction of Yerushalayim, the siege of Yerushalayim, the base of Mikdash, etc. But when you have a time to show Simcha, Sa'adarabba, Matimim Simcha, why not make it earlier? Why make it later? That's a second issue where we see this this idea come to the fore. Okay, so maybe it's not a bad equation. Okay. I mentioned before that there's a machlokas discussion that was shown in what historical events are we commemorating. So while some say that it is the fast the Jewish people themselves did on the 13th before they went to war, many others say that it was the fast of the 3 days of fast that Mordechai and Esther established. So the Beis Yosef mentions this, and the Aruch HaShulchan and others mention this idea. Again, the fact that we only fast 1 day is because we're weaker, and why do we fast on Adar, not Nisan? Because that was a Harasha. But basically, that's what we're commemorating. The Rosh in Megillah quotes Rabbeinu Tam. It's the first Rosh in all of Masechus Megillah, Aleph. The Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam, famous quotation, that this Tainus Esther was not that, but it was really to commemorate the fast that the Jewish people did on the 13th before they went to war. Now, why is this on Dafka and Daf Beis Amud Aleph in Tainus in the beginning? Because it relates to the opening Mishnah. And the Rabbeinu Tam brings a raya from the following. Very, very interesting. We all know the famous first Mishnah of Masechus Megillah lists all the different days, including the 13th, in which you, and certainly even earlier, but even the 13th, in which you can read Megillah in different circumstances. In the beginning, the Gemaras of the Masechus Megillah are discussing, A, why you would do such a thing, what are the heichatimsos, what are the circumstances where you would be reading one of these other days, and number two, what is the legitimate reason, why should that be allowed. So it's interesting, the Gemara, without getting into all the details, the Gemara has, based on the 14th and the 15th, says that's already fairish in the Megillah. And there's another pasuk which is in plural, so that refers to 2 days. And at some point they think, well, maybe that includes the 13th and this, that. In the end they say, no, maybe that's the 11th and 12th. But what about the 13th? The Gemara asks. The Gemara seems to be out of sources for Yud Gimel. So the Gemara says, basically, there's no need for a source. The Gemara says there's no need for a source. Quote, Zaman Kehila Lakol. It's a day of gathering for everyone. Now what does that mean? It's not clear at all from the Gemara thinks it's so clear, it's so obvious. Zaman Kehila Lakol. What does that mean? So Rashi says that this is referring to what happened way back when they gathered for the fighting. They gathered on the 13th to go to war. The 14th, they're fighting. The 13th, the 14th, they only... Nachu, they finished fighting on the 14th, so we celebrate the victory. But they started fighting on the 13th. So says Rashi, since that was the day of the Ikar Nes, that was the day of the battle, There's no need for a minog, of course, for a source. Of course, you could read the Megillah then. The Deishin Hayom Shanasa Bonates. Now, again, the problem with that is, as some of the other Rishonim point out, is what, but the Gemara itself says, why did we put, why is Purim on the 14th? Because it's the day that they rested. Because it sounds like there's dafka preference for the resting, yet the Rashi says, no, it's like obvious, of course, that it's almost even better to have the Megillah reading on the day that they were fighting. Okay, that's a little bit of a minor detail. But the bottom line is, Rashi says that the reference, the term, is the manikil called the Gemara, is referring to that's the day they fought. It's not the day they fought all those years ago. In certain circumstances, if you can read the Megillah there, and that's self-evident enough of a reason to legitimate the Gemara, you know, the reading of Megillah that day, you don't need some extra pasuk. If Rashi's reading of the Gemara is right, it's interesting, but it has nothing to do with our topic. However, the Rush, I mentioned the Rush right there in the beginning of the Masechta, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rush here quotes him approvingly. They very much argue on Rashi. They point out that they can't be, but they're different rejections of Rashi, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam gives a whole different theory. What does that mean? Not Zman Kil Akol, they gathered in the Megillah. Zman Kil Akol, you and me, all of us, every single year, we always gather on the 13th. Why are we always gathering on the 13th? Just like we did tonight in Shul. We gather today to daven because it's Tainus Esther, and we gather today because we want to have everything together, and since it's Tainus Esther anyway, we have Slichos and Tachnunim. And therefore, no problem, why not read the Megillah as well? The Sefer HaManig, just as an aside, Sefer HaManig agrees. And he also, again, says this idea. But again, it's most well known as the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. That's a machlokas. Again, bottom line, the Gemara says, we know that you're allowed to read the Megillah on the 13th, if necessary, because there's something special about the 13th. It's what's called the Zman Kehilah Lakol. And whereas Rashi thinks that that's some reference to something historical, Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it means Tainus Esther, the 13th. Tainus Esther, the 13th. Oh, now it's already our topic. Tainus Esther, the 13th. Okay, I'm glad it's our topic, but what's the obvious problem with Rabbeinu Tam? You're a little too sharp. Don't be so kanosh. Lay back. Think more about this. You're already trying to talk like a rabbi. London. Okay, it's not a bad question, but I want to tone down. Think about something more obvious. A young child could even almost ask. No, you're all thinking too fancy. This is a two-word, six-letter question. Six combined. So what? The Gemara is looking for a source that you should be able to read the Megillah on the 13th. So whereas whatever pukim we had with Rashi, but Rashi says, I'll tell you a good reason. This is the day of the Nes. This is the day they were fighting. So we always have holiday celebrations on days in which we're commemorating. So if they were fighting on the 13th, no, usually we try to celebrate on the day they rested from fighting the 14th. But of course it makes sense that we should be able to celebrate the miracle on the day that they actually had the miracle, on the day that they were fighting, the 13th. That makes sense. I don't know if he's right or not, but at least it makes sense. There's a logic to it. Rabbeinu Tam comes a whole new reason that it has to do with Tainus Esther. Who cares? So what? What does Tainus Esther have to do with Purim? Tainus Esther is Tainus Esther, Purim is Purim. Because it's Tainus Esther, then we can read the Megillah? Now, if you want to make it a more fancy radical question, you could add your points. Especially yours. How can you read the Megillah? It's a theorist, it's an essence. But you don't need, I don't even know if you need those. Those are good questions, but those are too good. It's more simple. Who cares? So what? What does one at mind Shmiyat Lesar Sinai? What does that do with anything? Because it's part of Tainus Esther, we can read the Megillah? Can we give Shalchmanos then? What does that do with anything?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but all those psukim that they brought for the other days, they're just asmanos. It really is a question of we extend the days of reading Megillah for when people are going to be available to read the Megillah.
No, that's why we do it. And practically speaking, why should we do it? And in fact, the Gemara says, and if you don't need to, you shouldn't do it. The Shaila with the Psukim is, just because we have a need doesn't mean we have a resource. There's two different things going on.
But even the
Psukim,
they're just
Asmatas. I don't know, why does that mean that they're Asmatas?
Because the whole thing is not
Minotaur, right? Okay, but Asmatas from the Megillah. I'm saying, there's sources. I don't want to get, that's a tricky term.
But that's what makes a difference.
Why?
Because if the whole point of this discussion of the extra days is when you're going to be available and for convenience, and it would not set up.
No, it's not just that. It's not just that. I think that's where I think you're wrong. That's obviously part of it. That is a part of it. That's what I'm trying to say. There else is no point. Of course, you should. You really, ideally, you should be the 14th or the 15th. That's clear from the Gemara. The only reason you would have to do one of these other days has to do with the Bnei Kfarim, the people who didn't have a meal.
But all the Rush is saying is a very practical thing. You told me this a second ago. Don't get too fancy. The Rush is being very simple. He's saying it's Yom Kihil HaKol because it's a day everyone shows up in Shul because it's Tzadis Esther. Because if the function of
correct.
The
function so
is just in order, is because of convenience. This is the most convenient day because they all got to show up for the dynasty.
You'll do me a favor. I understood you, and I'm going to try to give you maybe hopefully more clear and more effectively the same answer I tried a minute ago. And you'll check the Gemara afterward. You'll see if maybe I'm wrong. But I think it's okay. You're conflating two related but separate issues.
The word conflating?
Yes. Sorry.
Good travel.
You're combining. You're mixing a ride. You're mixing up two issues. One is if I, Lamashal, I am now living. Now that we don't do it. If it was my, whatever the time was that you could theoretically do such a thing, and I need to know when should I read. I know I don't read on the 15th. I'm not one of those cities. Maybe okay, but I live in who knows what little farming village. And I have a problem getting a minion, and who knows? And I want to know: am I the right guy? Should I be reading on the 14th, or am I one of those people who can take advantage of this other thing? So there's a practical issue. Are you? What situation are you in? Are you in a situation where you could have a minion? Do you need to come to the market? Do you need to come to here, DNA Torah, whatever? What's the reason you're coming to the big city? That's one question. That practically speaking, people had a problem. So then, when we wanted to solve the problem, we solved it in a way which would be practical. What I'm saying is, we have lots of problems in life. I don't mean to be glib about it. Lots of problems, but not every solution is legitimate. There's a separate question, which is really more the first, the first question, which is it legitimate? If I have a hard time getting to Yerushalayim on the 15th, can I shake a lulav 2 days before? We can go with the whole way. We can mimic the exact same discussion. I live here. I live there. I don't have this. So it's more practical. There's other people. Whatever. But the answer is, it's all true, practical. But it doesn't matter. It's illegitimate. There's no legitimate way to shake the world beforehand. Or can I light menorah the week before? No, there's a day of the holiday, the day of the holiday. So there's two issues. One is practically, why did we do it and how did we solve it? But a first question, which is a separate question, is why is it legitimate to have something 2 days before when it should have happened? So for that, the Gemara went into these limudim and these discussions of drawing out the psukim to show that there is some element of Purim or some relation, and it's legitimate to read even on the first days. Why would you read, and why would you pick that day as opposed to the next day? So that's all the practical cheshbonos in the Gemara. But those are only possible when we first laid the groundwork that it's legitimate to do it then. So on the legitimacy question, not the practical question, on the legitimacy question, the Gemara asks, okay, we now know why it's legitimate for the 11th and the 12th, and we maybe know for the 15th, the 16th, but how do we know it's legitimate for the 13th? So for that, the Gemara gives this ambiguous answer, Zman Kilo Lekol, and the Balam, excuse me, the Rabbeinu Tam says, what that means is because it's time Esther and Jews are coming. But again, I think, if you'll forgive me, but in a sense I'll give you a good backhanded compliment, the Shaila we're asking is that Rabbeinu Tam had the same confusion as you. Rabbeinu Tam is giving an answer, perhaps, that's very practical. Everyone's coming. Time says everyone's coming to shul. But the answer is, so what? That doesn't answer the legitimacy question. Right? That's the question. Okay? So, this, I think, a very sharp question. So there's a very beautiful sefer, some of you may know about, called the Kuntras Chanaka Umagilla. This is written by, like, a Talmud Chover of the Briska Rav, of Turtzin, and half the book is on Chanaka. Half the book is on. There you go. So in the first Simon Aleph about Megillah, he discusses this topic, and he asks this question, and he answers, I think, very, very beautifully. And again, it's not surprising, he's from the Brisker orbit. He says this general idea, but he actually says it with the little oomph that we mentioned from a Soloveitchik as well. Namely, that it's not just that we can answer this by assuming the notion of, well, it's a tiny shal simcha. What's that got to do with this? Not just that. It's that it's part and parcel of Purim. Purim encompasses and includes Tainus Esther. It's the contrast, the Me'afela Li'ora, the idea of going from that vulnerability to the great salvation and victory, That is part of the Purim celebration. And therefore, since Tainus Esther already has a status, it has a footprint of Purim, therefore, if that's true, then it's a Kemat of Purim. Then it's legitimate. That's why you can read it. What the Psukim were trying to darshan for the other days and basically say that they have some status of Purim, we don't need a Psukim for the very fact that it's Tainus Esther, says the Kodesh Chanukah of Megillah. The very fact that it's Tainus Esther means that it's already connected and legitimate to read the Megillah because Tainus Esther is, so to speak, integrated and becomes part of Megillah, part of Purim. Again, because it's the contrast which is so important. Okay? Good.
Have you read Megillah 11-12? Do you still celebrate Purim on the 14th?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Let's see if we could do two more little things. Two more little things. One practical and one just, interesting. And I hope practical, Mehera Yabana. The one that's practical for Mehera, someone should become a chosen, is what if you have Shava Brachas fall out during Tainus Esther? Do you fast or do you have Shava Brachas? So the Ritva at the end of Mesechas Tainus, the Ritva, the last Omer of Tainus, discusses this question in general and says, if Sheva Brachas fall out within any of the four fasts, the Arba Tzomos, so the Chosin must fast. I think so too. Unless she's very nervous. Okay. Huh? Yeah, exactly. The Magen Avraham quotes this, the Halacha. So the Birkei Yosef, he quotes this back in Hilchos Tainus Esther, Tavrish Pevav, and he quotes a sefer named the Beis David. He says that the Beis David argues, when the Beis David argues, he not only argues on the four fasts, but he throws in Tainus Esther as well. If I'm not mistaken, again, you could be Meduik, I believe the Ritva never mentions Tainus Esther, but the Beis David says, no, it doesn't make any sense, with the four Arvit Somos and Tainus Esther, Chosin is the Chosin. In all those cases, he should be able to go on with Shev Brachos and not fast. So the Birkei Yosef quotes that, and then he pulls back and he explains that he thinks that the Beis David is wrong about the Arba Tzomos. That's the Lashon. Unless I'm reading it too much into it, that he never, when he rejects the Beis David for the Arba Tzomos, he does not necessarily reject the Beis David for Tainus Esther. Now, it could be that I'm reading too much into it, but Naniach, that that's a correct reading. Naniach, that's a correct reading. What would come out is that you have the Birkei Yosef distinguishing between Tainus Esther and the other four fast days. And if you can presume, and this is generally what we would have assumed the halacha based on this ritzva, that you ultimately would have a machlokes, haposkim, what would a chosin do on Shema Brachos on Tainus Esther? Naniach, the other four fast days, for sure he's going to have to fast, but perhaps Tainus Esther would be different, at least according to this Birkei Yosef.
The guest can eat also?
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Tisha B'Av, how can you have a Shema Brachos on Tisha B'Av?
I understand the question. Okay, so. Oh, because of the 3 weeks and 9 days.
So maybe it's one of the pashas.
I'll tell you why. Because the real din is not 9 days. The real din is Shavuot Shachalbo. So it could have been only 2 days. You could still be. You could have gotten, it's even to this day, right? So Shechalba. Maybe they got married before then. Who said? No, that's the, you can't do all the brachos, certain brachos. Yeah. But it's still a celebration. I'm not even talking about the guests. I'm just talking about, can he eat? Can he eat during that week? Does he have to fast? For him, it's a yontif. Is he allowed to eat? That's the question. So again, if this is a machlokes, I'm not positive this machlokes, but if this is a legitimate diuk in the Birkei Yosef, so then I think, maybe there's others, but I think certainly a very plausible explanation would be along the lines that we've been saying, that maybe when is it that a chosin gets overwhelmed, so to speak, by the Arba Tinyos, which is when there's mamash a clash, one is Shal Tzar, one is Shal Simcha, and okay, we say the Tzar of the Tzibur comes first. But when you have a Tainus Esther, where really the whole fast is some kind of a simcha, so already when that's a simcha, again, the simcha which generates the fast, but still, it's a Tainus Shal Simcha, but okay, he's already holding my simcha, so that's already not a clash. Once we're talking about this simcha and that simcha, maybe there's a story to say that, since he's already holding by his own simcha, there's not, you know, it's too close to covenant. The irony, again, this is just Lamashamah Davidoma, the Ran's famous idea of Davar Sheish Lamatirin. Right, that the way Bittul works, the Ran says, the way Bittul works is you have to have a clash, you have to have a conflict. This is a very famous Ran in the Seches Beitza. Right, the way in general, whenever you have Bittul, Bittul Barov, Bittul Bathis, Bittul Bathat, you have to have two opposite, you know, mamish, good and evil. You know, you have powerful forces, and it's the contrast which in certain proportions allows one to overwhelm the other. But ironically, says the Ran, if you don't have a real contrast, it's instead of black and white, you have muddled grays, then without that contrast, you can't have the Bittul. And therefore, that's, as an aside, that's how the Ran explains the concept of a chumrah of Dover Sheish Lamatirin. So something's become mutter tomorrow, so therefore it's not so stark a usr. It's really only a gray usr. It's not a black usr. And ironically, because it's a weaker isr, the contrast isn't as great, and therefore it can't be in this batel al yidei the heter. So I just mentioned that as a mushal, that perhaps, this is very speculative, I admit, but perhaps that's the Berkei Yosef's idea, if we're reading him correctly, that's a double speculation, that given that Tainus Esther is a really Shel Simcha, so perhaps when the other fast Shel Tzar, that's a real conflict with this Chosin, so it overwhelms it. But if it's really Simcha and Simcha, so perhaps he stays with what he is, which was to eat. Yeah. We don't eat.
What?
Oh, nidcha. Okay, fine. You have to get me in the summer. No, Tainus Esther, yes. Tainus Esther, yes. Yes, so the different, yeah, no, on Tainus Esther, everyone could eat. You become very popular. I don't know, were any brises in the city today? I'm surprised we can all go. We can all go. Everyone was there. Okay. Last thing I want to mention in Meir Yabona should be an interesting shilom. The Rambam in Hilchos Taniyos in Perek Hey tells us that all the fasts will be abolished during the Yemos HaMashiach, we'll have the new Beis HaMikdash, and that the tragedies which they will represent will not be commemorated. On the contrary, they will be turned into Yemei Yom Tov and Yemei Simcha. Back to Kasha. Is that true about Tainus Esther as well? Is that true about Tainus Esther? As an aside, I'm thinking in the future, in the past, I don't want to get into it now, but it is in Machlokes, about all the fast days, including Tainus Esther, did they fast during the time of Baal Shem? It's a particularly fascinating question about the other fast days, which are about related to the Korban. Did they fast when they were having the second base? It's a very interesting question. There's a Rambam and Pesach Mishnah, it discusses these things. But be that as it may, right now I'm not looking in the past, I'm looking in the future. What will happen in Meher Yabana? Will we have Tainus Esther or not? So there's a different comment of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Megillah and Perek Beis basically tells us that even though the days, I want to read this Rambam. If you give me Moed, is there a Moed of the Rambam? I hope so. Well, that's the guy in Hanami. According to that, no, but not everyone says it was a Gaonic. Some people say it was earlier. Give me 1 second. We're almost done here. Last point. This is really good, though. 1 second. Perek Beis Halach. What did I say? Perek Beis Halach Yidches. So the Rambam says, so first of all, we know that the Megillas Esther itself will be somehow eternal more than the other Sifrei Tanakh. It'll stay kayim like the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and all the halachos, etc. She'en betel in liolam. Even though all the commemorations of Tzaros will be cancelled in the Yemos HaMashiach, quote, Yimei Purim, Yimei HaPurim, Lo Yivatlu. Shne'emar, quote a pasuk. No. Yimei HaPurim Ha'ela, Lo Yavru. Yes. Mitoch HaYehudim, Zechram, Lo Yosef, Yosef Mizara. Yes, exactly. So what does the Rambam say? The Rambam does not say Purim will not be in this battle. It says Yimei HaPurim. Yimei is the days. So what is Pshat? So it may mean the days are the first Mishnah and Megillah. The 12th, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, that could be. But the Brisker Rav apparently accepted the Diuk that refers to Tainus Esther. Yimei HaPurim includes Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther and Purim, and obviously that Diuk presupposes this idea which we've been mentioning, that Purim is really, the Tainus Esther is really part and parcel, it's the prefix, it's the beginning, it's introduction to Purim, because you can only celebrate Purim, so to speak, if it's coming on the heels of the vulnerability of Tainus Esther. The vulnerability that Tainus Esther reminds us of, therefore makes the victory of Purim all the more meaningful, the Me'afil or idea. So again, that's not a practical Nafamina, or at least not practical yet, but it's certainly an interesting Shiloh whether Tainus Esther will be in this battle or not, and that may depend on this Diuk in the Rambam, which again certainly relates to our issue. Okay, I'm Shabbat Freilich and Purim.